Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of South Tower Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation, outside of South Tower and the Elgin, Texas. Today is August 16, 2025, August the 24th day of 8, 2029. We will start service today. Time of greetings number one. Valley Beach, the house number 22, volume 1, number 22, and we're going to start with the prayer song. The name of our sermon is "The Church Entered Into the Harvest Period." We're going to do for our prayer song, Mount of Blessings 175, and we're going to first have a prayer. Okay, it says, Mount of Blessings, LNG White, page 175, and the vision of the prophet Ezekiel, there was the appearance of a hand beneath the wings of the cherubim. This is for the teaching of his servant, that it is with the divine power, that he gives unto them the success for those whom he employs as his messenger, are not to feel that his work is dependent upon them, for the finite human beings are not left with the responsibility for the carrying of this burden. For he who slumbers not, who is continually as the work for the accomplishing of his design, will carry forward his own work, for he will thwart the purposes of the wicked men and will bring to confusion the counsels of those who plot the mischief against his people. For he who is the king, Lashur of the host, son of Yahweh, sitteth between the cherubim and amid the strife and tumult of the nation. For he guards his children still, for he who ruleth in the heavens is our Redeemer and Savior. For he measures every child, for he watches a furnace fire that must test every soul. When the strongholds of the king shall be overthrown, when the arrows of the rest shall strike through the hearts of his enemies, for his people will be safe in his hand. What shall we now pray for? I think we should pray to know that Yahweh, that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, not infinite man, is at the head of the work for the knowing that no man of himself can advance or thwart the Yahweh's work. That only the that's Yahshua advances forth the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh's work, that only the Yahshua himself can do either, that we need not feel that the Yahshua's work is dependent upon us, that if we ever remember this, we shall have a closer walk with him. This, I believe, is what we are to pray for today. End of our prayer. Name of our sermon. 1TG, volume 22. Vicki Hollis. The church entering into the harvest period is the name of our sermon. no matter how great and how effective a revival and reformation, even the Yahshua himself may launch into his church, the scriptures make it plain that both the sinners and the saints will be in the church until the harvest. No one need brag that the members of his church are all saints, that they are all of the one accord. If they really are of the one accord, then it must be that they are all terrorists, that there is no saint among them. Well, that church for a certainty is not the church of the which the Yahshua speaks in his word. If anything is plain in the scripture, this one thing is. Now let us turn unto the 13th chapter of the Matthew, verse 24 and 25. Another fellow put he forth unto them, saying, for the kingdom of the heaven is likened unto a man that sowed a good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. For the reason given for the tares to be among the wheat is that men slept. Footmen. These were the ministers that were appointed to minister unto the flock. Okay. Plainly then, if any man had kept awake, plainly then, if every man had kept awake, the enemy would not have shown the terror. Now, for the ascertaining of what it means for men to be awake, we shall read from the 3rd chapter of the Matthew, verse 5 and 6. Then went out unto him into Jerusalem. Let's do it again. Then went out unto him the city of Jerusalem, of the members, and all of the Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Well, what were they confessing their sins about? For this John the Baptist that was playing the role of the antitype for Elijah of his day, and Yahshua's day, was pointing out that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, had come to be baptized, and he pointed them out to those in Jerusalem. And that's what they had to confess their sins about, for not knowing that Yahshua going to come in the flesh unto them, that he was really a living person. So they said, oh my. And so they confessed their sins, that they had been functioning without the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. For this scripture makes plain that the John, the Baptist, or baptized. Well, let's do this again. For the scripture is with the making plain that the John the Baptist baptized many, and that those whom he baptized for only those who confess their sin. Now pay close attention to that, because we have an answer for Elijah that has come again already. That Elijah has been on the scene since 1970, but unknown at that time. So, and he's still unknown to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they will not accept anybody if he does come in the name of the Antichrist Elijah. They won't accept him, except the living saints. And then you're going to have to point out why they are to accept him, because he's pointing out that Yahshua has come again in the flesh of Victor, but this time in the spiritual flesh, and as well as the last time, but I'm just saying that he has come in the flesh, this flesh. That's reading when he went back to heaven after his resurrection. That's reading why Yahshua carried those nail scars in his hand. He still hasn't there today. So the people here on earth can say, well, he is still in the flesh that he was crucified with. Let's pay attention to this. Matthew 3, 7 and 8. Verily, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming unto his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of the vipers, who hath warned you for the flame from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for the repentance. So these were the popular groups of the John's day. He not only refused for the baptizing of them, also plainly and politely gave them for the understanding that the baptism is not something for or with to cover sins, only something with which to wash them away. For he made it clear that he was not in the business of the making hypocrites, for the John left no doubt in their minds that the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, did not have any need of them. Verily, that they had the need of him. For the Pharisees and the Sadducees then went away with the full knowledge that the great wide awake preacher of the day, John the Baptist, was not taken up with their popularity, much less with their pedigree. In the view of the John's firmness of the purpose, and the fact that the Yahshua said no greater prophet than he had ever risen, we know that John was wide awake, and so all the preachers should be. For we, as the members of the church, also should be awake, as was John the Baptist, and as firm as was the Job, being able to say, though he slay me, yet will I not trust in him. John 13, Job 13, 15, Matthew 22, 9 to 12. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid unto them all. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with the guests. And when the king came in for the sin of the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And notice how it says on a wedding garment, meaning that there was everybody else in the room had on a wedding garment. And he says unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. So thou shouldest servants be awake and do their work right, that some of the members may fail for the putting on of the wedding garment. A garment, you know, is something to put on the outside of the body. For the garment, therefore, denotes a daily Yahshua-like deportment. For the righteousness of Yahshua and the one daily life. Let's do it again. For a garment is well known to be used for the putting on of something outside of the body. For the garment, therefore, is with the denoting of a daily Yahshua-like deportment with the righteousness of the Yahshua in the one's daily life. For the fact that the man in the parable is speechless when asked, friend, how camest thou in hither and not having a wedding garment? Shows that he was totally guilty of the neglect, not of the ignorance necessarily, for he was without the excuse, and he knew about it. And let us go back now to Matthew 25:1-5. Then shall the kingdom of the heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins took their lamps and went forth for the meeting of the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. For they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, now, if they took their lamps, they must have had oil in it and their lamp vessel, or they would have taken their lamps to begin with. But the fact that they did, all 10 of them took their lamps with them. Well, the thing is, though, they took their lamps with them because these were lamps that they were going to have to use once they got to a certain place. And let's go ahead and read about it. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they didn't take any extra oil with them, because if they took their lamps, they had a little bit of oil in their lamp vessel. Really, their wives took oil, took the oil in their vessels. Let's read that again. But the wives perfect oil in their vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now this is where the rub comes in. At. So in 1970, that's where the wise and foolish virgins showed up at the Gilead Center camp in Turner, Texas, with the brother Samson as the prophet to the candlestick, for the candlestick of Laodicea, the seventh candlestick. Okay, in other words, he was the one with the inspiration, and lo and behold, we had a vessel. We had a candlestick. That always those seven candlesticks stayed lighted in the sanctuary at all times when that sanctuary was set up and operated. We had all seven of those lamps burning continually 24 hours a day. Now let's keep that in mind. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And Brother Samson lit all seven of those lamps in 1970 when he discovered the seven churches with the seven lampstands in the Revelation chapter 1. When he discovered that with the creation calendar that he was given to for the restoration of all the holy days that were trampled under foot by the man of sin during the dark ages, the Pope. So when he was put in charge of the creation calendar for the restoring of the sanctuary system and putting it back into full operation, that was 1970. And so Brother Johnson, he had his vessel full. But you know what? Gilead Center and all her members also was given an extra vessel, because in Gilead Center you're going to find an example of the five wise and the five foolish virgins that are going to show up there in that feeding pasture of Gilead Center. Okay, so we're going to find out something there. So for 33 and a half years, the five wise and the five foolish was portrayed there at Gilead Center in 2002, starting the Passover. And when we got to the final judgment, the atonement of 2002, there was only three people left standing, and that was myself, my wife, Catherine, and Alan D. Long. Because we all three believed that we had extra raw oil in our vessel. And so Brother Samson and all of his rest of the congregation turned against us, the five wise virgins that had the oil in their lamps, and they turned against us and kicked us out of the church. So where did we go? We went into the bridegroom for the wedding. And what happened? When at last those five foolish virgins discovered that they had missed the wedding, they came and said, "Give us of your oil." We said, "Not so. This shall not be enough for us." And we told those five foolish virgins, "Go and buy for yourself." And they knew exactly where to go buy. They went to the prophet that had the oil and his vessel for the developing of the creation calendar for the restoring of the sanctuary system that had the seven lamps of burning in it. So they knew where to go to get the extra oil. They went right back to the very place where they came from, and they didn't find anybody there that had the extra oil, but they said, "Well, this is it right here, creation counter, and everything that it teaches. This is the extra oil This is Yahweh's government that's got to be restored and taught. Because Rosh Hashanah said that was given to him to do in 1970. Yahweh, he said, that's sure. Or Yahweh told him to restore his government and teach it to the people. So when all those that followed Rosh Hashanah faithfully for 33 and a half years, and I did too, but I kept my eyes open, and my wife did too, and our ears to the ground. And so we put that extra oil in our vessel during that 33 and a half years that we were with Brother Johnson, 1970 to 2003. So this is where we're at today now. We're the ones with that extra oil in our vessel. And now we're going to have a repeat of that here in the judgment of the living, because that separation of the wise servants from the unwise virgins took place as tournament for the closing out of the dead period. Now we're coming into for the entering into the judgment of the living period. Now this is where we repeat this all over again of wise and foolish virgins. Again, it plainly appears that the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Spiritual Israel of the Day membership is divided into the two classes, where the Seventh-day Adventist Church has yet to be harvested with the 144,000 of the first fruits to come forward. So it says, it appears that the Seventh-day Adventist Church's membership is still divided into the two classes, as the wise and as the foolish virgins. For the wise take no chances, for they continually search for the oil, present truth, on a daily basis, and they fill their vessel with it at the first opportunity. Well, that's when that new light is revealed to them. That's when they put it into their vessel. That's the extra oil, for it is with it at the first opportunity for the foolish show. See no need for any more than what is in their lamps, for they are satisfied with what they already have. Well, we no longer have those foolish that are separated with us down there at the turn of 2003. No, we no longer have even the prophet and the angel of the candlestick, Brother Samson, the one of inspiration. They're all dead in their graves, and that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with new people that are hand to come. Okay. And I've taken Brother Johnson's place. That's the reason why I'm able to point this and explain this all to you. For the all as a substance, for the lightning ahead of the one's pathway, obviously is figurative of the prophetic present Bible truth, present truth on a daily basis that lightens the heart by the unveiling of the future. What is it saying in Proverbs 4:18? For the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. How many times have we seen how to quote that? Ben wrote Brother Johnson since 1930. How long? Many, many times. Concretely speaking, the lamp filled with the oil denotes the individual's reservoir of the truth in action. For the truth that meets his needs only for the time then present. for the extra oil in the vessel, therefore, represents the additional two as the additional present truth on a daily basis, and you'll go find the parable of Matthew 24:45-41-47 about those two servants. Who then is a faithful and wise servant when I come find so doing? Rendering the fruits in their season, bread, meat, present truth. He said, whosoever he finds doing this, he said, really, I will make him rule over all my goods. And he says, and he that overcometh, and Revelation 2:26-27, says, will I give the rule over the nations? The one that he's going to give the rule over the nations, he's going to make a choice between the answer for Esau and Jacob. And he's in time who he's going to give to rule over the nation. And we know who that's going to be. That's going to be antithetical Jacob again. Okay. In the other words, the oil and the lamps and the oil and the vessel represents the two revealed truths. The first one, time that these truths are revealed, is the for the house of Esau, antique house of Esau. Brother Thompson represented the house of Esau from 1970 to 2003, 33.5 years. In the other words, the oil and the lamps and the oil and the vessel, the extra vessel that you carry with the lamp, with the oil and the lamp, represents two revealed truths. The oil and the lamp represents present truth as it was first revealed unto the prophet that was to publish it, and that was Brother W. Johnson, 1970. He revealed what was in the lamp, not what was in the extra vessel. Because Brother Johnson did not have an extra vessel, and he didn't go get an extra vessel. Because all that he put in that vessel of Gilead Center in 1970 was for the restoration of the creation calendar and the ordained system of the true worship, and put them back into full operation. That's what that oil was for. That the oil in the extra vessel was picked up by the antithetical Jacob. That was who I was. I was the one that picked up the extra oil and put it in an extra vessel along with the vessel that Brother Johnson had, the 33.5 years. Now pay attention to this. Two revealed truths at the two different times for the following of the other, for example, while the judgment for the dead is with the truth in the action, for the judgment for the living is present special truth to go into the action as soon as the judgment for the dead is over. Obviously, the oil that has been consumed as is the oil and the virgin lamps represents past truth, truth that has accomplished its mission. That's what I said, Brother Johnson. Had that lamp with that oil in it from 1970 to 2003, and he thought that the time that oil was used up, we would be into the kingdom, and we wouldn't need no more oil to carry us into the presence. for we had already arrived into the tent. That's essentially where he taught the 33 and a half years of sermon of 1972-2003. Truth that had accomplished its purpose. Really, the oil and the vessels represent the present truth and another truth ready to be activated and made to shine immediately after the oil in the lamp is consumed with the Word of Subject Johnson. But since Word of Johnson and all of those that followed him exclusively for those 33 and a half years, and they signed that letter to dismiss Catherine and myself and Alan out of the church in 2003, and I prophesied that they were through, that they had no more life to continue on, that they would come to their end with Brother Johnson, leader. Since the 10 virgins represent the SDA church membership during the judgment for the dead from 1844 until 2002-2003, the oil and the lamps manifestly represent the present truth of the judgment for the dead. For the extra oil that is in the vessel must therefore represent the present truth of the judgment for the living, and the additional truth apparently then the lamps now empty represents the judgment for the dead passing away, and the oil and the vessel represents the truth of the judgment for the living going into the action. Part some of that was stated from earlier writings, page 277. Since all of the 10 virgins had oil in their lamps, that's what it's supposed to say, their lamps, not the lamp, but their lamps, but only half of them had the oil in their vessel. With the symbolism clearly disclosing that, as always, with the whole church membership not accepting of the message of the judgment for the living, for the foolish virgin were satisfied with the truth that they had acquired while joining Gilead Center Kermit, Texas, the third branch of the Seventh-day Adventist Church from 1973, that bore the message of the judgment for the dead, but failed for the acquainting of themselves with the additional message, the message of the judgment for the living. Finally, after the necessity for it became imperative that they began for the searching for the extra oil, only it did them no good, for they were too late getting the extra oil, for they were left out with the terror only because they let the devil sow in their hearts seed of the foolishness, seed of the contentment. Lukewarmness with the initial truth by which they joined the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Gilead Center in 1970 and the 2003. Thus they ultimately mistakenly felt no need of the additional light from the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. Only when the prophecy began to fulfill itself beyond the scope of the divinely revealed knowledge, and as they saw the events of the teaching of the plan of salvation of the brother everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, shaping themselves conscious, shaping themselves contrary unto their expectations, they became alarmed and confused and saw themselves in the darkness. For the lesson is unmistakably of those who forever, let's do it again, for the lesson is unmistakable for those who forever feel rich and increased with the good and in the need of the nothing more will not get unto the door on time. Besides the tares among the wheat, there are idlers, inactive folk who are to be cast out and destroyed with the tares. Let us read Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of the heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and unto another 1, unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received of the 2, he also gained of the other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. For his Yeshua said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Yeshua, your Savior, your Redeemer. For he also had received the 2 talents came and said, Master, I deliver unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. For his Yahshua said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter down to the joy of thy Yahshua. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and getting where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that his sign. For his Yeshua answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, And that was Brother Stedley Johnson. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Now, my oughtest therefore to have put my money unto the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with the usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Further from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and says she the unprofitable servant unto the outer darkness, this shall be the weeping and gnashing of the teeth. From the parable, or from this parable, it's seen that when a Christian falls asleep, Satan comes along and sows seed of the idleness in his heart, so as to cause him to be cast out with the tares. At the commencement of the harvest, therefore, this class of the tares is of the first for the appearing as such. For it is high time for the learning that the religion is not an opiate. There is still another class of the church members who in a different way fall victim with the terrorists. This we shall see from Matthew 25:31-46, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all of the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you covered me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in the prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when shall we be an hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When shall we be a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when shall we be sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, really I say unto you, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall I say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. He's talking to those Seventh-day Adventist church and the Adventist church even today. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Master, when shall we be an hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in the prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall enter into the life eternal. For the most outstanding sin of the goat class of the professed believers is that they are all for self and none for others. For the sheep class are the opposite in their territory, and those who do charity work are not to make a display of it, not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. That's the 6th street. And since the system of such benevolent work is truly pointed out in the Hebrew economy, we would do well to look there, for it to promote the assembling of the people for the religious service, as well as for the providing for the poor of a second tithe of all the increase was required. Concerning the first tithe, the Yahweh had declared, I have given the children of the Levi all the tenth in Israel, but in regard unto the second he commanded, thou shalt eat before the Yahweh thy Yahweh in the place which he shall choose to place his name. One place is in Deuteronomy 16:16, there, for the tithe of thy corn, and thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Yahweh. Let's do that again. But that thou mayest learn to fear the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, always. And so he's chosen to also place his name right here at the, it's not the 12th hour here in the, on this property that belongs to Barbara and her family and Dorothy and Daryl. This is where he chose to place his name. And let's see now what they're going to do about it. Him choosing to place his name here. Thus, the tithe or its equivalent in the money they were for 2 years to bring to the place where the sanctuary was established after the presenting of a thank offering unto the Yeshua, a specified portion unto the priest, for the officers were to use the remainder for a religious feast. And which the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow should participate. For this provision was made for the thank offerings and feast of the yearly festival, and the people were drawn unto the society of the priest and the Levites that they might receive the instruction and encouragement in the service of the Yahweh and his son Yahshua. Patriarchs and Prophets by Ellen G. White, page 530. For this work to be carried out systematically by the Yahshua's treasury through the gifts and free will offering, sometimes called the second tithe, we cannot but do likewise if we are to find favor with the Yahweh. Now, back to the message 1344. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking of the goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of the great price, went and sold all that he had and bought the field. For these parables distinctly point out that those who do not care for the investment of everything they possess, if need be for the obtaining of the kingdom, are to be cast out with the tares. Matthew 13:47-48. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. For a net cast into the three natural tests, good and bad, small and large, but fish, like all of the other living creatures, move in the family, such a species with its kind, and so each time the net is cast, it touches the families of the fish. So it is that the gospel, or the teaching of the Father of Salvation, the blood of everlasting faith in the earth, and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the sure the new and living way, that the net, which is called the gospel net, and there are many instances, naturally brings in the families and relatives all in the one church, that is, as parents accept the teaching of the Father of Salvation, the brother to the faith of the brother of everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, along with them are often brought and the children and even relatives and friends. For the bad fish represent those who, with no real knowledge, conviction, and conversion of their own, but through the emotion and the influence of the others, join the church. So it is that those who never wholeheartedly and zealously take a hold of the principles of the Yahshua are cast out there to perish with the terror. All who are too lazy to study and who give the devil a chance to sow the devil's seed in their hearts, making them believe that the preacher or the minister will take them through the into the pearly gates, having no experience of their own, are cheated of the eternal life. They instead get the eternal death. True enough, the Spirit of the Yahweh causes people to become one thing, and the Spirit of the Satan causes them to become another thing, but the difference is discernible only as the harvest time approaches. When the time of the harvest is revealed, from these simple parables comes the fact that the Satan raises terrors in the church and ever tries his level best to keep them in it. Why? Let us find the answer to Revelation in Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. When the devil saw that he was no longer permitted entrance into the heaven, he went for the first seat of the church, as she brought forth of the man-child, Yahshua, for the dragon therefore is to persecute the church in her Christian period. Revelation 12, 14. And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto the woman, and to her face, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent, because of the persecution of this, is that the church was given the means by which for the taking of her flight from the promised land, the vineyard, and to the land of the Gentiles, into the wilderness. So that would be in the New World, where we are today, United States of America, is the wilderness of the people, location. That's in Revelation 17. In Revelation 12, 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as it fled, asked the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. At the beginning, the serpent persecuted the church, but as he saw that the church still grew and prospered, he reversed his tactics and began instead for the persecution of the pagan who would not join the church, and raised ministers by whom to bring in a threat of the false doctrine of the unconverted and raised ministers by whom to bring in a third of the unconvertibles of false doctrine by which to paganize the church so that she could not Christianize them. Revelation 12, 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood that which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Thus is the church purified, and thus are the terrors destroyed. As the terrors they are burned as the unprofitable workers, for they are cast into the outer darkness, those to weep and gnash their teeth, as unfit guests for the wedding. They are bound hand and foot and set out into the outer darkness as the foolish virgin. They are refused entrance as ghosts. They are sent into the everlasting punishment as the dragon's flesh, for they are swallowed by the earth. But the actual thing that happens unto them all in common is further described in the Ezekiel prophecy chapter 9. Let us turn unto it. Ezekiel 9, 1 to 11. We call also unto mine ears with a loud voice, and cause them that have charge over the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for the drawing near of the every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with the linen, that's Yahshua, with a rod of incorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And Yahshua was one with them now. And the glory of the Yahshua of the Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was unto the threshold of the house. And he called unto the man clothed with the linen, that had the rod of incorn by his side. And the Yahshua, and the Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, to the midst of the Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men, a sign that cried for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare. Neither have ye finished, they utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them that I was left, and then I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahweh, Yahweh, wilt thou destroy all of the residue of the Israel, and thy coin out of thy fury upon the Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of the Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Judah is exceeding great. And the land is full of the blood, and the city full of the perverseness. The Seventh-day Adventist Church full of the perverseness. For they say that Yahshua has forsaken the earth, and Yahshua seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with the linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me, for the promise to purify the Jerusalem, Judah, and Israel, stands as sure as any promise in the word. For the term Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, you know, cannot be applied unto anything but unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the place where everyone should sigh and cry against the abomination those who do not sigh and cry are to be left without the mark. And then the angels who have the charge of the church have smite every one of them, old and young, both maids and little children and women. Only those who have the mark shall be left. They are the remnant, for the angels are thus to take care of both the wheat and the tares. Yes, there is to be a clean riddance of every sort of the tares, just as anciently there was a clean riddance of all the firstborn in the household that fell for the painting of their doorstep or the doorpost, the doorpost with the sacrificial blood on the evening of the Passover coming out of Egypt, in the land of Egypt. So shall it be at the commencement of the harvest, and it's trust to God of God that we are in right now. We're going to start this harvest. It's going to be started at the Passover in a given year now, and right in front of us, and the purification of the church. For the angels shall smite everyone who forces the abominations in the midst thereof. When is this thorough purging to take place? For the answer, let us turn into Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Yahweh. For I will consume man and beast, I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Yahweh. Here is a promise that the Yahweh is to thoroughly cleanse the land, and I am sure some of you will say that these prophecies have ever been fulfilled. Zephaniah 1, 4 and 5. I will also stretch out mine hand upon the Judah and upon all of the inhabitants of the Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of the Baal from this day, and the name of the Chemelmans with the priests and them that worship the host of the heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Yahweh and that swear by the Malcham. Not only the land, but the people that are to make up the house of the Judah, the house everlasting kingdom of the David, Daniel 2:44 and 45 prophecy. I send the days of these kings in the 12th hour, as thou shouldst send upon the throne of the David in this house of Judah, are to be cleansed. There is to be a clean land and a clean people as well. Zephaniah 1:6. And them that are turned back from the Yeshua, and those that have not sought the Yeshua, nor inquired for him, for the backslider and the indifferent, those who are unstable, and those who see no need of the Yeshua, are to perish along with the tares. Zephaniah 1:7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Yeshua, for the day of the Yeshua is at hand, for the Yeshua has prepared a sacrifice, he has bid his gift. This is the long expected great and dreadful day of the Yahweh with his son Yeshua. Zephaniah 1:8. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with the strange apparel. Zephaniah 1:9-11. And the same day also will I punish all those that cheat, leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with the violence, and deceit, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, that this shall be the noise of the cry from the fifth gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hill. How ye inhabitants of the midst, for all of the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear the silver are cut off. For the great crashing sound shall be from both the fish gates and from the hills, from the land and from the sea. Both the servants that bring violence and deceit upon the master's houses, and the wicked masters themselves shall be punished. Zephaniah 1:18. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with its candles, and punish the men that are sitting on their leaves, that say in their hearts, Yeshua will not do good, neither will it do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, and not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, and not drink the wine thereof. For the great day of Yahshua is near, it is near, and haste is ready, even the voice of the day the voice of the day of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. For that day is as the day of the wrath, as the day of the trouble and distress, as the day of the wasting and desolation, as the day of the darkness and gloominess, as the day of the clouds and the thick dark, as the day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, as they shall walk like the blind men, because they have sinned against the Yahweh, the Father of sin. And their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in that day of the Yahweh's wrath. But the old man shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. But he shall make even a speedy vengeance of all them that dwell in the land, for the time of the day of the Yahweh is pointed out by the increased wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, and gloominess, a time in which no one knows what to do for the averting of the disaster, a time of so much fear even by the cities that are best fortified. So far as I know, there has never been the like. For the world's condition of the day is as the only condition that needs the challenge of these prophecies. Since this is true, and this is the day in which the Yahweh is to search Jerusalem with the candle, this is the day in which it is to cleanse his people from sin and sinners. It is a great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Malachi 3:1-5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple, even a messenger of the covenant that is answered for Elijah, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Yahshua of the host. But who may by the day of his coming, and who shall send when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire and like the solar show. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi and praise them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in the righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Yahushua be pleasant unto the Yahshua, as in the days of the old and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a quick witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, for the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and still not be such a sure of the hope. Should we not now consider ourselves as the most fortunate people in the world for the knowing of these things beforehand? Shall we not be glad and thankful for the having been warned beforehand that we have come almost into the time of the harvest, and that we have been given the opportunity for the making ready for it? Shall we not be glad that we are not left in the darkness, and that we are now again plainly shown that these are the closing hours of the pre-harvest period, that the harvest will soon be done? Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth is lightened with his glory. Well, the fulfillment of this scripture is what is called the loud cry of the third angel's message. But note that the whole earth is lightened with his glory. Let us now take notice of what happened after the three angels' messages permeate the earth, and after the earth is thus lightened with the glory of the angel. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of the devil, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Ah, after the earth is lightened, then it is that the Babylon falls plainly then. Babylon has not actually fallen as yet. In fact, Babylon has not even come into the existence yet, for she is yet the Mount Zul, the beast of the world, the Revelation 17, and track number 12, the world yesterday to him, Revelation 4. And I heard another voice from the heavens saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. For this voice from the heaven you see come, and the Yahweh comes unto the Yahweh's people, and after the earth is lightened with the loud cry of the angel. For the burden of the voice is that the Yahweh's people should come out of the Babylon, so that they be not the partakers of her sins, and receive not of her plague. If on this account they must come out of the Babylon, then it must be that the place unto which they are called to come is free from the sin, and thus free from the danger of the plague. And where could that be but in the purified land and church of the Yahweh, where there is no more sin and no more sinners to endanger the peace of the Yahweh's people? Vain indeed it must be if the people were called from one place of the sin and brought unto another place of the sin. For sure as Christ it is that the purification of the seventh day Adventist church, Daniel 8:14, with the judgment of the living, started in 2003, 1 Peter 4:17, takes place before the loud cry of the third angel messages begins in the world, before the Yahweh's people are called out of the Babylon. For the third angel message is to lighten the earth with its glory, but only those who have withstood the temptation of the strength of the mighty one will be permitted to act as a part in the proclaiming it when it shall have started into the loud cry, the June 3rd of 1908. For most Christians know that there are two classes in the church, wheat and tares, but few, if any, seem to care. We as reformers, though, especially since we have been given this great light on this subject, cannot afford to be indifferent. We may now intelligently choose to be wheat or choose to be tares. If after knowing this truth, some choose to be tares, they will have gained nothing and need not be surprised when they land in hell. at this time, later, and chapter in a flesh, then it is that Jerusalem, the church, shall be searched as it were with the candle. Consequently, the men who are still in their houses, those who are after as early Yeshua has forsaken the earth, shall have their punishment. Not only do we behold and fear the day of Yeshua the approaching, but even fear the glory. This brings in verse 50, our contact at the 11th hour, call us number 11, pick on the audio archive. We're going to close now.